This is TWiT.
Joining us to give us a little bit more information on what's actually happening in the world of Gamergate, which is the first time I've ever uttered those words on any sort of a live broadcast because I'm terrified, is Chelsea Stark, games reporter over at Mashable. Welcome to the show, Chelsea.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
All right. So you wrote an article, which actually is titled Why Gamergate Can't Continue. And we certainly don't have the many hours that it would take to go over why Gamergate started in the first place. And depending on who you ask, it's probably a different answer. But we're now at a point that just the term Gamergate puts somebody on one side or the other. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening right now?
Yeah, sure. I mean, what is happening right now is what some are calling, you know, a small minority, what some are other people are deciding to call a consumer revolt. It's a lot of, a lot of different angles of this story. There are people that are upset about the causes of journalism ethics. There are a lot of other people that are saying, no, this isn't about journalism ethics. These are about people that are upset about, you know, certain smaller developers using their, you know, saying that they're using their clout to get curry favor online, which isn't really true. It's just kind of a very mired topic for a lot of people.
So in essence, you know, Gamergate sprung up because there were some folks who said, listen, we've got some ethics problems in gaming journalism. People are writing stories and maybe, you know, their journalistic ethics are questionable. Okay, well, that aside, and that goes for, I think, all journalism. You should always, hold people's feet to the fire if you believe that their journalism ethics aren't completely straight. But at this point, and I know that Felicia Day, who's obviously a very well-known gamer, she started the video series The Guild, which was well-liked. She's an actress, sci-fi actress. If you don't know who Felicia Day is, she's pretty great. She wrote an article that was, I think that you would say, you know, it was a little bit later than I would have expected. In fact, I was kind of waiting for her to weigh in on all of this because she is such a face of female gaming, saying that she was actually really terrified for her personal safety because what's happening is particularly women who speak out about harassment online are getting more harassed. And this really has nothing to do with ethics and journalism. And I'm not exactly sure how the two topics have become intertwined at all.
I think that that's one of the problems here is that Gamergate is a really large anonymous movement. And half the time, half of the members don't know what the other half of the members are doing. They kind of gather in a lot of anonymous image boards and Reddit, places where, you know, certainly you can have, some people can have a discussion, but other people can go out and do things like send death threats to women. Certainly, they don't know, members don't know, but it's easy to say, like, your hashtag has become kind of a dangerous place because people are still associating it with these three different women having to leave their homes. One woman, Anita Sarkeesian, a female video game critic, canceling a speech because she said she felt threatened. It doesn't matter if Gamergate was, you know, signed at the bottom of the letter or not. It's still kind of a violent, dangerous time for women in gaming.
Roberto, would you put any pressure? You know, as obviously somebody who, you know, none of us can sit here and be like, it's okay for people to get harassed online on a social network like Twitter, for example, where I know a lot of people do get threats because it is pretty hard to get accounts taken down on Twitter, and if they are taken down because IPs aren't blocked or anything like that, Twitter's not really going after people that way. It's hard to get another account it's hard to keep another account from springing up in that person's place and continue to harass people. I know a lot of people point to Twitter and say, well, they're not doing enough. But is it the job of that kind of a social network to step in to something like this?
You know, there's potentially, you know, some things that Twitter could do. I mean, they could have it so, you know, a brand new account, something that's, you know, less than 30 days, can't, you know, send tweets to people, or you could set it up so you block tweets from people who, you know, haven't had account longer than 30 days. But it really comes down to just this very, very toxic environment of people who are A, misogynist, and B, they feel like they're being picked on. I've talked to a couple of, you know, I've made fun of Gamergate plenty on Twitter. And of course, people have talked to me, but no one's threatened me because I'm a man. I'm 200 pounds. I'm 6'3". No one's going to threaten me. But a lot of them were like, well, it's ethics in gaming. I'm like, well, point out these problems. You know, show me where there's ethics, you know, issues. And they're pointing to articles where people are saying, talking about the misogyny in gaming, which there is. There's a lot of sexualization of women. And they're upset that people are saying, well, this sexualization is bad. It is, it's toxic for women who want to play. It's toxic for little girls. It's toxic for men as well, because it creates this sort of this idea that women are objects. And when people are writing these articles, they're getting upset because a lot of gamers are feeling, well, they're saying that we're all misogynists, we're all these horrible people. I'm like, well, hurt feelings doesn't equal bad ethics. I'm sorry.
Right.
I think I can add to that. I mean, a lot of the upset people are pointing to reviews instead of, you know, actual articles and saying that these reviews aren't written objectively, which is kind of a fallacy in itself. Like, a review is an opinion. It's an opinion about a game. And if you feel like this game makes me uncomfortable and gives me the heebie-jeebies to play, then that's a fair opinion, you know? And I think, as we've learned from movie reviewers and music critics and all that, you find the reviewers you like and you follow their opinions. If you don't like someone's review, you know, you're free to state a different opinion. You're not going to immediately say that they're corrupt.